Welcome to CodeCast. We're a podcast that focuses on everything tech, and we give you an idea of what developers, startups, and creatives are up to in Zambia and across Africa. Every 2 weeks, we explore different topics and applications of technology in the real world. Every episode is brought to you by Agora Code Community. For more information, visit agoracode.community or follow us on Twitter at CodeAgora.
I'm Sita, and if you guys want to follow me online, you can follow me on Instagram or on Twitter at @LadySith. Follow me if you want to talk about game development and Africa and that kind of good stuff. And thank you for listening. This was CodeCast.
Let's do a 2019 review.
Okay.
How was your 2019,
Sita? How was my 2019? Oh, my 2019 was good. It was really good. The best part of it is that I wrote the last math exam of my undergraduate career. So I will have a degree in April. Mm-hmm. So, but just getting over the math part was the biggest thing, and that's like my favorite part of 2019.
You know what? I can relate to that. Like, it's not like my review of 2019. But it's my review of 2014.
Yeah.
2013, actually. Like, I struggled with math. And that was, like, really strange. Like, I've never struggled the way I struggled with math in that year. And I was so prepared to flank math. Mm-hmm. Like, when I got my grades and everything was okay, like, I remember doing my chores. I was doing my chores. That mm-hmm. I stopped everything I was doing and I was jumping around for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. I screamed when I... Because, you know what? Can I tell you, like, I repeated that math module for the second time. And the thing is, math lectures are at 7:45 every morning. Can you imagine waking up at 7:45 for lectures for how many years in a row in my life? Like 4 or 5 years in my life. So I was like, this is going to be the last time I do it. But the exam was really hard. And then I was fully prepared to like have a recit for that exam. And then when I saw that I passed, I screamed. That was great. That was my favorite moment of 2019 because... It was just like a great release, and now I can focus on my favorite thing, which is computer science. Mm-hmm. I don't hate university. I hated university math, but I love computer science. I love computer science.
We all hate math.
You all hate math?
Yeah. I actually love math. It's just that experience was terrible, and I feel like
Okay, I hate math.
The experience was terrible for me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like math is important, but I don't have to like it.
You don't have to. That mm-hmm. is true. That's true. You know what? Actually, I like that perspective. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that math is important, but you don't have to mm-hmm. like it. You don't have to like it.
That's how I feel about biology.
Oh. I feel like biology was...
It was okay.
It was okay.
I wasn't interested.
Yeah, me neither. It was down to memory, really.
Yeah.
For me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like... In high school, it was like history.
Very,
yeah.
Very
it was
theoretical.
Just about how much you read and how much you can remember, so... Mm. But
math is a whole different ballpark. It's about practice. You have to invest in math. That's the thing. You have to invest to be good in math. Like, especially like higher level university math, you have mm-hmm. to invest time in it. And I hated that it took time away from the things which I liked,
yeah.
which was computer science. Again, like, I love computer science. Math was taking that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm done with my computer science and math degree, but I still have one more year of just computer science and... Then I have another degree. I don't know. The South African university system is a bit weird.
Mm.
It's like 3-year degree. And then if you want to have a 4-year degree, like the one around the world, then you do an extra year.
Mm.
And you specialize in that year or something. So it's like did 3 years of computer science and math and other things. And then my last year is computer science.
But yeah. It feels a lot like what we did, only it's not like you stop at 3rd year. You still do the extra year. To do your specialization thing.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wait. At
so,
UNSA?
Yeah. So.
At UNSA?
Well, when do you specialize?
Isn't fourth it? Year. You pick between software engineering and what's yeah. the other thing?
Oh. Software engineering. I don't know about now, hardware, but I think it was just software something. And systems.
Yeah, systems. Yeah. Engineering. Yeah. Yeah. So you basically pick a stream and you split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're final. Yeah.
Yeah, and okay. The workload is much less. You've really gotten rid of the math.
Yeah.
Like, we only had 2 years of math, right?
Was
it a year or 2 years?
Not counting
year.
First year.
Not counting first year. I think it was a year.
It was a year.
Well, for us, it's the other way around. The fourth year, the workload is intense because they consider it like the It's like, yeah, like that third year is a degree in its own, but then like the fourth year, it's like you have to prove yourself. You have to prove that you're good enough for a master's or something like that. Yeah, or whatever. All right. What about your 2019, Elias?
I just learned a lot. I feel like I improved my technical skills a lot.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm a much better software engineer now than I was at the beginning of 2019.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah. That's down to where I work, the stack I use, the tools I use, the things I work on. I don't know. Like, I just...
What do you do now? And where do you work? Would you like to tell us? Are you allowed to tell us?
Yeah, I don't think it's a secret. I'm at zambezi.com.
I didn't know that.
So I didn't know that either, Elias.
You keep like, you don't look at any of my social media.
I do. I look at you on Twitter, except his username changed again, didn't it?
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
It has not changed. Your
name. No, okay, not the tag, but the name.
No, I haven't changed my username.
It's still Jor-Eli? Jor-Eli?
No. Is it?
Is it Jor-Eli?
Jor-Eli 360.
We had a problem with this for very long
time. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. Are you telling me that this whole time you thought I changed it? After I made a point on one of the previous episodes that I'm not changing
it. I literally I listened to that episode. Yes. I know, the tag hasn't changed, but I think your name has changed.
No, the name has changed. You're not
Derp God. I'm Derp God.
Yes. That's changed.
That changed months ago.
Yes, months ago. I didn't notice.
Okay.
I'm just like, who's Derp God?
Oh, yeah, so there's no way to, like, recognize it as me, because, like, even my picture is, like, me facing the other way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shame, eh?
Just go back to Elias.
It's a shame.
No, like, why? Why? Conform. I like Derp God. I like being derpy.
Conform.
No, I don't do that.
Okay.
What about you?
Okay, my 2019 was, like...
Never mind.
I was thinking about changing that, though. I just haven't figured out.
No, you can't change it now.
Why?
Your handle.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel like it's too late.
Is it?
Why?
Too many people recognize Sawbones. It's part of your brand.
No, I don't recognize it as part of his brand.
Well, you sometimes didn't know I changed to Derp God. Like.
No, sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm like Sawbones, because I'm like, because you know the thing is, like, you know, it sounds like a bitter person. It sounds like, and it doesn't suit Mokoma. It doesn't suit you, to me.
Sawbones.
Sawbones.
It's not like actual Sawbones, though. Like, you explain it.
Yeah, please explain. Because to me, I'm just like you're so sour that it's in your bones. That's how it
Firstly, is. That's not why. That's not what it is. It's you gummy worms, whatever. Like, there's a specific type called sour bones.
Oh, okay, that's so I would not that's have really known.
Yes. Yeah, I know. But like, he's explained it before. That's the only reason I know.
No.
So they're like really sour on the outside, but really sweet on the inside.
No, it still makes you think about, like, I'm so sour that it's in my boat. That I'll never change. Yeah, I'm so
really
sour.
I like you right now. Is this what you went through? For like 10 episodes?
10. Like, this has been like a going, like, it was happening today. You were attacking by handle.
You should change it.
Still. I'm not changing my handle.
Okay, fine. At
Jor-Eli
360
underscore.
And Sour Bones, and this is Lady Sith. Yeah. Very easy. At underscore Lady Sith.
We actually didn't even introduce Sita, you know. So do you want to tell us who you are first, and then the rest of us will go after, because we're like...
Okay.
We're like regulars, you know.
Cool. So I'm Sita Ngube, and my Twitter handle is @_LadySith. Yeah, I say
Super
that.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And what do I do? Well, you probably can guess I'm a computer science student right now, from what I said. But also I run a game development organization called Prozarium.net that's interested in getting 1,000 African women of all backgrounds to create and upload their own games, basically. Before that, I was running an organization in Zambia, a game development community sort of thing, like... Agora, but game development, kind of, yeah.
What was it called?
Yeah. Oh, Ubongo Game Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still online. Website's still up and all that stuff. And also, I'm the regional organizer for Global Game Jam. One of the regional organizers. There are many. One of the African regional organizers for Global Game Jam, which is the world's largest game development event. And we're going to talk about that later today, right?
It's also one of our favorite events.
Yeah, it is one of our favorite events. Yeah. And I think we met
at a Global Game Jam.
Yes.
2016? 2015?
Yes, no, 2016. 2016.
Yeah. Then 2017 was the first one we ran.
And the first time I met Elias after A-levels was when you came for a game development event.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, so we're actually connected through game development.
Exactly. Mm. Which is what makes this episode so special.
Yeah.
January is such a special month, you guys.
It's the only month Kuma feels like a game developer.
It is really
the
only
month. I know, but for real, same thing.
If I'm being completely honest,
No, we should actually make it a theme. I feel like January, inspired by GGJ, obviously, should be game development month. We should do more with it, make a game every day or whatever and stuff. Ooh, like that.
Okay, that's tough, man. But just have game development events, because I always have the annual all-girls game development event in January before Global Game Jam, and then there's Global Game Jam, and what else is there? I mean, there's preparation for Global Game Jam, so it's all I'm seeing is game development. So January is... And I feel so excited about it. Oh, and also, in November or December is Africa Games Week, so it's kind of like it spills on from December
all the way to January.
Always hyped about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, did you attend the previous one? I think it was in December, right?
Yeah. How
was
it? I attended it.
Oh, weren't you speaking at that event?
Yes, that's actually where I launched Prozarium.net during my talk. It was fun. It was a fun week. I need you guys to come over there sometime. I hate that it moved to... Okay, before that was Amaze in Johannesburg, but now it's Playtopia in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. But Johannesburg, it's easier for people to get to. I think I was even talking to someone 2 years ago about, next Amaze in Joburg, should get a bus of Zambians to go from Lusaka to Joburg. I don't know if you guys would have been up for that. You guys could have even made games on the bus.
I know Daniel would be down for something like that. He's been talking about a bus tour for a while.
Whoa! Which Daniel? Okay, there are a lot of Daniels.
I don't know if you know Daniel.
There are a lot of Daniels.
Daniel Piri.
Nope.
That doesn't help, huh?
Daniel Madaliso Piri.
Malgambes.
I do know him. And he's in Zambia right now. And I was oh my gosh, if I knew you were going to be here, maybe we could have met or something like that. Because I do follow him on Twitter. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
He's also one of the new hosts for Codecast this year.
Serious?
Yes.
Awesome. Where is he? Why isn't he here right now?
This was just short intimate notice. People that have organized the Global Game Jam type.
Okay. Oh, this is a secret one, special one.
Sure, let's go with that.
It's a secret special. We'll go with that.
Okay, shall we get into the Global Game Jam?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes, okay.
So, we have with us the regional organizer of the Global Game Jam.
One of the regional.
Wait, when you say one of the regional organizers, do you mean sub-Saharan Africa? There's many of you, or you're the only sub-Saharan Africa regional?
Now there are more. When I started, I was the only one for sub-Saharan Africa. When I started in 2015, I was the only one for sub-Saharan Africa, but as the sites increased, as more people started applying, it just made sense to separate locations. I think the first one to separate was South Africa, because I thought the South African community, game development community, is very
big.
It's big, and they self-organize, because it's every year I just come to the Make Games Africa website, and I see they already have a thread about Global Game Jam talking about who's organizing it where, and I'm these guys know themselves pretty well, so just get one of them to continue that. And then most recently, last year, but for this Global Game Jam, separated so now I just do East and Southern Africa, excluding South Africa. And for the Indian Ocean islands, that's Madagascar, Mauritius, La Réunion, those islands, they're mostly French-speaking. So I got someone who, one of the previous site organizers, who was very enthusiastic about helping all the time. So he's handling those sites because they want to speak in French sometimes. Yeah. So it would be more suitable for someone who is bilingual, more fluent. And also West and Central Africa, also because there are a lot of French-speaking countries there. And I thought maybe someone who is more connected in that region should take over. So, yeah, someone else has taken over from that side. But in general, I am still mostly in touch with the sub-Saharan Africa sites because, I don't know, I just like them. I'm just like, oh, hey. I just like talking to them. Like, oh, you're back, yay. And they always ask me, like, hey, can I... I'm signing up. Can you process my site? Because it's allowed for other organizers to process other sites. So since I'm familiar with their sites, if I can, I'll just do it quickly. Mm-hmm. Online, I'll just be like, okay, let's sort out your site and whatnot.
Okay.
How's the growth been like since you started like overseeing the sites? How many more sites are coming on every year in sub-Saharan Africa?
I wish I opened my laptop before this to check, but no, it's been a lot. It's as in, okay, a lot more. Like, let me just give Zambia as an example. This mm-hmm. year is going to be pretty impressive because we're having 4 jam sites in Zambia. I never expected that to happen anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And can you even guess which was the first site to sign up in Zambia this year? Try guess. No. Just try guess.
Kitwe.
No.
Well, I don't even know where they are.
Chipata.
Chipata. No. That was going to be my next guess.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, wow. But Bantu Lab Tech in Chipata, like, they were the first ones to sign up. Mm-hmm. And then after that was Ndola. And then Lusaka and Livingston.
But you know what? This is exciting.
It's exciting. It's really exciting. I'm so impressed by the growth. Like, yeah. Here.
And this is something we're advocating for anyway. We didn't want to be like the only jam site. There should be many so that it actually feels like a community that's spread across.
It's exciting.
And stuff like
it's
that.
Really exciting. Yeah. So that's just to show you like the growth from one country. Mm-hmm. But in the region, there have been a lot. There have been other sites. But it's mostly, like, I mostly look at the countries, the new countries that joined. So this year, new countries include Benin, Burkina Faso, Sudan. I forget which other countries. Yeah, this is the thing I have to check before. Mm-hmm. But right now, this year, for the first time, we have a Cape to Cairo connection.
No, really?
All the way up there, yeah. But for some reason, South Africa goes up and down. But I think it might be because, like, a lot of South African sites join last minute, like really last minute. So right now it looks like there are a few which are approved. Like, I think there are only 2 or 3 approved, but like
closer to the deadline,
the
you
day,
think?
Like more people are probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think the deadline would have passed by the time we're releasing this episode, right? It's 8 days, right? I think I saw a tweet today. For submissions,
I believe so. Yeah, 8 days. Eight days. And even if you're late and but you think you have everything sorted out, like, you know, maybe just send an email and, you know, you can still get approved. Like, better late than never, Africans. I mean, I know we like African time, but better late. But there's also the better late than never. Like, yeah, like.
You heard it here first.
What?
Send an email.
Send an email.
After if you're on deadline. African time.
Yeah, no, we're always looking for like new countries to take part. It's so
I'm actually happy that there's a lot of new countries taking part. I think today I was thinking about game development studios. Like, I think every year in January I think about studios.
You start to open your mind to
the idea of studios, and I remember that we had this conversation sometime back. I think it was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we're talking about South Africa and how many studios are there, like, and then I really didn't hear about anything like in countries like Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Malawi, like Mozambique, like everything above us, like Kenya.
I know.
Like, we have a lot of people doing a lot of stuff there, but then.
But like, okay, our neighbors, like, not so, we don't hear so much, but like over the years, I don't know, are any of you guys in the African Game Developers WhatsApp group?
No.
You were there at one point.
Was I?
Yeah, maybe you left, or maybe I kicked you out. No.
I don't remember.
I think one of you guys were added, like, for Global Game Jam. At some point, one of you guys were added.
I think that sounds like a group I've been added to.
Okay, but okay, Mwaba is a part of the group, but basically it's a group of African game developers, and now it's so full that, like, you know, it's maximum capacity.
Really?
And there are people, from all over the continent talking about what they do, and then you see the stuff which people are doing, and you're like, wow, you know, there's a lot more going on, like, than you think. And people do have studios in other places. They're just not so vocal, or it's not really on. The online presence isn't so much.
It doesn't have the exposure.
Yeah, it doesn't have the exposure and all that stuff. And I think another thing is, like, I think for us, we, like, with... this is, like, a tech culture, an African tech culture thing, which I think we need to grow out of a bit. But, you know, people like keeping things secret. People like keeping things really under the wraps.
Yeah.
And then they might not even end up releasing anything. But the thing is, like, if they talked about it from the beginning, especially for games. Mm. The thing about games, people are worried about intellectual property and whatnot, maybe, but I think they're looking at it from a bit of an unreasonable perspective, because the thing is, okay, yeah, an idea is worthless. So people already don't want to share ideas, but I mean, if you have an idea and you can't work on it, maybe someone else will. That should be fine to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to work on it, then work on it. And yeah. Also, if you want to work on it and you need help, just say it from just the get go. From the get go that you need help. Start doing whatever little things you can. Like, the internet is open for you. The game development community online is so nice and friendly. Like, people from anywhere in the world would help you. Like, just put out your stuff, and ask for help at every stage. And okay, and another thing, for those people who are worried about intellectual property and protecting the stuff, the thing is, if no one knows that something is yours, the thing is, someone can steal your idea at any point. But the thing is, like, if you kept your thing a secret, imagine keeping your thing a secret and then one other person sees it and then they release it, like, before you or something. But if you've been putting out your stuff, like your sketches, your thingies from day one, people will know that this is Elias's idea or Mukuma's idea. Like, we saw you starting this idea since, like, mm-hmm. 2010 or wherever. A good example for that is from Cameroon, Madiba Olivier, mm-hmm. Orion, the legacy of the Choreo Dan.
I've seen that.
Yeah, the game. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But, like, he has, like, even he says it. Like, he says, like, you know, just put out, even if you have sketches, just put them out. Like, he's shared, like, the whole development of that game, like, from, like, a 10-year cycle. Like, mm-hmm. from back when he was using RPG Maker, from back when he had sketches. Like, he shared all that. Like, no one can take that game away from him. Like, even if someone tries to make a clone of that game now, they've made a clone of it.
And, yeah. And people recognize that it's not.
Yes, exactly.
They recognize original first. Exactly. Like, it'll always be something that inspired other games.
Yeah. So, like, don't be scared of putting your stuff out, even if it's, like, crap. Put your stuff out.
You know what?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of dynamics to, like, this byte set. Maybe because I've gone through some of them, like, especially this whole idea hoarding. Like, yeah. You're not really doing a lot of things with these ideas. They're just there, and you're hoping that one day you will claim the glory
of developing
these different ideas and so on and so forth. And sometimes you do let go of some of these, and then someone will do something with them, and then you'll be like, damn, I wish I had did that. Like, growing out of that mindset is really something that we should be advocating for. And also, I think the biggest thing is that it cuts down on your work if you just share early on. Like, I've been talking to certain people that have cut down my development time on so many different things because they've just told me something that I didn't know before.
Yeah, you can get a lot of help from things. Yeah. You can get a lot of help from things.
Lots of hacks. Like, so much I know now is because I just put some stuff out there and they're willing to help.
Open source all the things.
No, but
open source all the things.
I mean, okay, Global Game Jam is open source, and look at this. Global Game Jam is open source. Like, all the games from Global Game Jam, you can go and find the code there. But there are still games from Global Game Jam that have gone on to be commercial
successes. Exactly. Yeah. So that's a fair point.
Day one prototype of a game is up there. The code is already there. People can take it freely. But you are still able to go on and make it a commercial project. Mm-hmm. In fact, I feel like that idea, like, people, you put so much energy into protecting and hiding your thing that you become blind to, like, the ways you can actually grow your idea.
Yeah, especially in an industry as shifty. Is shifty the right word?
I don't know. Shifty? I don't think that's the right word. As
progressive as game development. Like, it's changing so much. Yeah, so fast moving, yeah. Like, you really don't want to be
left behind.
Because you held yourself in a bit of a bubble. Mm-hmm. And now you're out here claiming, no, that was my idea, but it's running on a new engine, it's running on, like, all this new stuff, and people are like, really? Really? Was it? But yeah. Okay. For our listeners that don't know what the Global Game Jam is, would you like to give a brief overview?
Okay, so like I said, it's the world's largest game development event. Game making event. Basically, on the last weekend of January every year, people from all over the world, they organize individual locations, like little sites, like we call them sites. People organize their own locations, and they come together in that part of the world, and they make games for 48 hours. So, like, at 5 p.m. on Friday, everyone at their local time, as in at their local 5 p.m., will play a keynote video for Global Game Jam. Everyone watches the same keynote video, and they get the same theme, and it's all translated, like, so it's really region-inclusive and all that. And then we all make games according to that theme for the weekend and then upload them on Sunday. So you have 48 hours to make a game with a bunch of people from a place near you. Yeah, that's how I can explain it. And you don't need game development experience to be a part of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, because like, people need people like artists, writers, and all that. And you can even learn new things there. You can make board games. You can make card games. You can make physical games. You can make whatever type of games you want. I think it's a really good thing for the community and the culture, the game development culture.
Yeah, and I really feel like if there's something that brings a lot of people from different different aspects of the creative industry, it's like the Global Game Jam. Because every type of person is welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter whether... You don't even have to be a creative, really. Just come and critic something and you could give people, like,
value. Yeah, like, there's always a role for you. Like, I feel like this is a point we emphasize every year. Like... The notion that you have to know how to code to make a game really...
Maybe we should brand it differently. Like, I don't know how we can...
That's why it's...
Yeah.
But that's why it's a Global Game Jam. Like, because, you know, a hackathon, people... It
implies,
hacking abilities and whatnot. In fact, some people are like, what do you do? What are you hacking into? Like, people...
Yeah. And the number of times you get asked what a hackathon is. Like, what are you doing? What are you hacking? Calm down.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, like, 2019 was good. I think 2019 I saw, like, going back to the topic of studios, I saw a studio launch in Zambia. I think it's Kalaharians, I think. That's what they're calling themselves. Yeah. So, like, these guys...
Are they the ones who made that hippo game?
Do you remember the name of the game?
But it was, like, Flappy Bird, but with a hippo.
I don't know.
Probably not the one.
Yeah, so these guys have, like, committed to developing a game hippo and releasing it every month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think they've got, like, 5 games so far.
They're Zambian?
I think I'll put a link in the description. I really want to talk to them, and I reached out to them.
I actually didn't know about them.
I also didn't know about them.
They made like a lot of noise on Twitter, though. Like, they tagged everybody when they were launching. Yeah. Well, they tagged me.
Okay. They tagged everybody.
They didn't tag.
Yeah, I guess I'm not anybody.
How do you spell that with a K-H, right?
Yeah, nah, K-A. K-A-L-A-H-A-R-I. IANS.com.
Oh, by the way, for context, we're checking. That can be them.
Look, this is totally new to me. I do not know a single one of these people. I do not know a single one of these people. Their website isn't secure, huh? I'm laughing because of, I don't know if it reached the conversation, but the thing which I was telling you about my WordPress site and then people asking me about the HTTPS thing, like, because I lost the password for MySQL.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I'm in the same situation. I don't have a secure website. That's so cool.
So there were at least 5 games. So Elite Force, Zombieville, Rapid Run.
Fruit Cop.
I feel like this is one of the games I made at one of the game jams.
Like, simple platform.
I mean, if they're releasing a game every month, then...
Yeah. A title every month. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. The Kalaharians. Why didn't you guys tag me? Maybe you did tag me and I didn't check. Maybe I was really busy at the time, but I'm going to go check you guys out. This is really cool. This is really awesome.
Would you like to tag us as well, Mukuma?
Yeah, would you like to tag us as well, Mukuma?
I'll go dig up the tweets and tag you.
Yeah, please, tag me.
Not a problem.
Because I have never heard of these guys.
And this is really amazing, because this is something we've been talking about for a while. So the only, the other thing now I want in the ecosystem is a publisher. Like, these guys should have access to, different aspects of the value chain so they can actually, make progress.
I'm also interested in that, but for me that's more of a long-term thing. Right now, I think people need to be more aware of how they can self-publish, because I just think people should have practiced self-publishing, so that they know themselves, what to look at and what it's like once you've published something, and looking at statistics for downloads and things and updating published games. So I feel like people should get into the habit of self-publishing things. I've been trying to encourage more people to upload stuff on itch.io. Yeah, so, yeah, but I would also like to see people get publishers. In fact, maybe the Zambian publisher themselves. Like, for me, I'm like, 10 years from now, we will probably have, like, a really awesome game development community. In fact, not even probably, I say yes. We will have an awesome game development community in Zambia with a great pipeline for people who want to get in to the... Yeah, industry.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I don't know why, but I just really have a strong affinity towards the game development industry. I just feel like it's a good avenue for the economy as well. Like, we just have so much potential.
Yeah.
And even in, I know people are struggling across Africa, like, we're even making money, even, I think even South Africa is struggling a little bit, right?
Yeah, everyone is. And in fact, when I hear South Africans talk about how they struggle with making money, I'm just like, you mean y'all? You mean like your bro for like y'all have had games for I don't know how like when South African devs talk about struggling, I'm just like
yeah. You don't know. You know nothing. You know nothing. No, no, no. Fam.
I'm like if they're struggling, I just feel like wow, like because it seems like it will take a while for us to get to where they are. Although the thing is. Yeah, I feel like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like if they're struggling, like how long will it take us to get there, like with the way our economy is and whatnot. But someone told me recently at Playtopia, it was Danny, I believe, Danny Day told me, he was like, in the next 5 years, he was like, don't be surprised if 5 years from now people in Zambia are making games better than South Africans are. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, the time people are getting into the industry, people are getting into the industry now. I think this is probably a different conversation, maybe, or maybe I'm just having a different conversation in my head about this. But you know how, like, why are you?
I'm listening.
but it's like, you know how, like, the best time to travel to Pluto is not now, but in the future. Because if you travel now, then the technology that will be made a few years later will be able to surpass the technology that you made then.
It may even get there before you do.
No, yes, that's the whole analogy. Yeah, like so, if you were to make a rocket to go to Pluto now, or something like that, someone who makes a rocket like 5 years or 10 years later. This is just like a really vague example. They would get there before you because the technology is better.
It's much better.
So now people getting into game development now in Zambia. Like, right now, they have, like, Unity and all these things. There's so many free, so much free stuff. Even, the tools. Yeah, itch.io, you can make money from itch. Publishing to Steam, although Steam isn't as great now, I think, I don't know.
Steam.
Like, you have to pay $100.
But also, Steam is really saturated.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually becoming a problem. Yeah. Like, even, like, for consumers now, like, you go on Steam and you don't know what's good because there's just so much.
It. But, but anyway, more platforms are opening. I mean, Google Stadia has a pro... Like, okay, there are different things which have programs now which are supporting developers, like, even first-time developers. They even programs like the Digital Lab Africa and stuff like that. Like, there are all these programs which can support developers to get... to exchange knowledge and get knowledge from the outside and build communities, like, into Africa. So, you know, getting into game development now, like, if people are serious about it, like, I don't even think it's a possibility, but definitely we're going to go somewhere in the future. Like, Marva, Epic, Kratos, Project Lumpa, I see you. Like,
I told them I'm waiting on that pre-order. I just tell me where I put my card details.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right?
Like, I'm watching out for that kind of thing.
You know, I was given, even though I got a copy of, what's this, Orion for free, I bought that shit. Like, I was just like, as soon as I had money, I bought that shit. I was just like...
You feel like you have to support the developers.
Have to.
But even just the way it looked, I was just like, this is a story which I would never get from anyone else. Like, I can't get the story from anyone else in the world. So I'm paying you for the story before someone else tries to make the story. Because now Black Panther made everything cool. So
you feel like the market on African stories will get saturated too.
Saturated, but snatched. Let me say not saturated, but it'll be snatched or whatever. Like.
So who better to tell the African stories
than ourselves? So like, when Project Lumpa drops, Moaba, just send me the link. I'm buying it. Like, pre-order whatever.
Yeah.
Like what's
nah, he knows. Access, he knows. Access, he knows. Like I've told him. I've told him all this stuff. Links. He knows my Twitter handle.
Yeah.
He'll add me.
And you know, we'll put a link to Project Lumpa. Everything about it also in the description. So
yeah, definitely.
Everyone else can get on the same bandwagon.
Yeah. You know. Get on the Project Lumpa bandwagon.
And it's really dope though. Like I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, like just the premise.
The premise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
Do we want to tell them the premise?
No, they're going to click the link. We're going for those clicks.
Okay, fine, but it's a mystery horror that has actual Zambian lore in it, like an actual true life story. Based on
It's based on like a true story, like true lore, but it's not like a true story you're playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to know more, we've had him so many times. How many times have we had him on the podcast?
We've had him twice. Right now. I mean, I actually thought that he was going to be here because you guys said a game dev podcast.
Seeing as how we're focusing on game development this month, at least we're trying to, we'll see if we can get him in. If he's not too big for us.
Mm-hmm. No. He's never be too big for us. Like, Mwaba's our guy.
Okay.
No. He's for the people. Yeah. He's for the people.
Okay. I think we've shouted him out a lot. I'm going to add you.
Mwaba Epicredos 2021. that's when elections in Zambia are happening for
our international listeners.
Yeah.
2021, man.
Okay, let's not even think about it. Don't even think about it.
It's emotional.
What's next?
So you briefly mentioned the
Prozerium.net.
Yes, the
what is Prozerium though?
Like, yeah,
what inspired the name? Because it's a hard name to say.
Is it?
No. I was actually going to ask for like an.
You want a business card?
Do you have a business
card? I do have a business card. I'll give it to you after this.
Okay, sure.
I want one too.
Prozerium, so prose, as in story, poetry, and mm-hmm. a rosarium is a place where you keep roses, so it's like a garden of stories, so I put prosarium. Mm-hmm. And also, in fact, the word itself, prosarium, without mm-hmm. the E, is also what you call a book of stories.
Oh.
So
double entendres all over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think the name would be hard to pronounce until people started saying, oh, hey, people said, oh, that's Procerium. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did not think this through.
I mean,
no, but then when the brand grows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. People hear it being said enough.
Yeah.
Imagine Alibaba.
What?
Okay. Alibaba is not hard.
How else did you pronounce that?
Alibaba.
No. Huawei.
Yeah.
Xiaomi.
Yeah, Xiaomi is one that took a while.
I still say Xiaomi though.
Huh?
I still say Xiaomi though.
You. Yeah, but you see, I mean, the Chinese brand names catch on, so if you hear Prozerium.net enough, Prozerium.net.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll catch
Prozerium.net.
So you asked what it's about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... So when I was running Ubonga Game, I kind of still run it, but we don't do anything. We're on hiatus mm-hmm. because I'm focusing on Prozerium.net. But, you know, we used to host game development meetups and all that. And at first, it was always guys showing up. So in 2015, especially for Global Game Jam, it was mostly, if not all, guys. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, I decided to start hosting an annual all-girls game development workshop in Zambia to get more girls to come to Global Game Jam in Zambia. And... yeah, it became my favorite thing because, like, in fact, from the first event ever was my favorite because
mm-hmm.
I actually learned so much from the attendees, which I didn't expect to learn. Like, they told me, like, I didn't even know that most of the people, these are people who I would see every day, right?
Yeah.
And then I found out that they were gamers. Like, I was, like, the only person in the community who would always talk about games and whatnot. And then I found out that, oh, okay, you play Mass Effect. And I was like, I haven't even played Mass Effect. And then they were mm-hmm. like, oh, I love Mass Effect. And then telling mm-hmm. me all about it and telling me they play Mortal Kombat and all this stuff. And then they told me, like, the reason why they didn't talk about it much was because of the responses they would get from guys and all that, you know, and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, man, this needs to keep happening if mm-hmm. If I want to get more women in game development, we need to keep having these types of spaces where people feel comfortable to be themselves and whatnot.
Yeah.
So after hosting that every year with Ubongo Game Lab, like last year, 2019 was a big year, you know, like I really did a lot of thinking. Like, I had to think a lot of what I want in the future and, you know, where we're going with Ubongo Game Lab and what I actually want to do in life, like what impact I want to do. So then I decided, you know what, what I actually want the most is to have more African women involved in game development. So I decided to design the initiative around that and using action plans and stuff which I learned from, I went to the Obama Foundation Africa Leaders Fellowship this year, mm-hmm. In Johannesburg, and it was a week-long thing where they like really taught us a lot about leadership and making plans, and I really learned how to make a good action plan around that. So I was like, okay, from what I learned at the workshop, let me make a smart plan to get more African women involved in games. So SMART as in, why do I always forget the initials?
Measurable?
Well, yes, measurable is the one which I always remember. Like
time bound?
I'm so there's S, whatever. But measurable, achievable, realistic, time bound. I forget what the S
strategic?
Stands. No, smart? Can't be strategic. Oh, yes. I'm serious. I don't know. But I was like, I designed an initiative with that in mind. Yeah. And I was like, okay, by 2025, I want to have 1,000 African women create and self-publish their own games. Or, you know, I actually need to change it just a little bit because it's like, you know, sometimes two African women can work on one game. So
yeah.
I was thinking about whether the focus should be on the games or the people, but I think it should be more on the people. So I think finally... Oh, specific. Yeah, I see it now. Specific.
Okay.
You were about to say it?
I was just waiting for you to finish.
So, so I decided to focus... The focus should be on the people. So Prozarium.net, the goal is to document 1,000 African women of all backgrounds and their mm-hmm. experience creating and uploading games in the next 5 years. So very smart, I guess, specific, mm-hmm. measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Yeah. That's it. Yesterday we had a workshop. We had our first workshop yesterday. I forgot. You know what? Yesterday feels like it was like a week ago. I'm so exhausted.
I can relate.
Every week feels like that.
Yeah, but yesterday we had our first workshop.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
It went really well. Like, it's always nice, like, having new people and people who are not into game development at all, but they come from, they have some other new interesting perspective. Yeah. So, like, although it was a bit of, like, we had to wrestle with power cuts and all that. So, you know, not everyone got to upload a game, but I was like, I just want at least one person to upload a game. So, like, when we were cut for time, like, in the last 2 hours, we helped one person focus on their game. So her name is Tendai, and she made a game about her dog, a little game about her dog called Bella. Like, you know when dogs have a thing in their mouth, and then they're like, what's in your mouth? And they either, like, and they run away or something like that. Like, dogs, like, want to protect what's in their mouth. We made a little visual novel about that. So, yeah, yesterday was a visual novel workshop. We had writers, artists, you know, people who were into games, like, just anyone who wanted to tell a story was there. I think we had like 7 people. It wasn't that much, but I actually do enjoy working with smaller groups because everyone gets to take away something, I feel. So it was a really great workshop. We have our first Prozarium.net game, which is What's in Your Mouth, Bella? Maybe we'll have a link to it. But yeah, it was a visual novel made in 2 hours by people with no experience with game development. So I'm very proud of that, that that's our first game.
Yeah, and these are stories we want to tell. Like, yeah. More of these stories need to be out there for everybody to read, so people can get encouraged to find spaces in their own communities and maybe be more self-organizing, get together and
yes, I would love that. More. You know, I would love that. Like, actually, and that's actually why I feel I'm okay with, like, stepping away from, you know, because before I was like, oh, I want to work on the Zambian game development community, but that's, like, too big, and like, there are so many different people in Zambia. People have their own goals and issues, and people have their own goals and their own timelines. Like, some people have jobs and all that. So I would like people to self-organize. Like, it doesn't have to be one person or mm-hmm. or even, like, a handful of people, one group or organization, like running game development in the whole of Zambia. Like, people should be able to self-organize. Like the Kalaharians, I'm like, oh, awesome that they just like went and did their own thing. Like, we should have more people like doing stuff like that. Like,
exactly.
Just like get together, make games whenever you want. Sign up to host a global game jam site. You know, take part in Ludum Dare. Apply for things like Digital Lab Africa. Like, you don't have to like go and be a part of like the bigger Zambian game developers Facebook group, which is dead. Are you guys part of that?
No. What?
I think I was at some point.
I am. I might be. I haven't been on Facebook in a while.
I'm the admin for that group, and I haven't seen it in ages. Oh, you deleted your Facebook. Oh. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't understand why you're congratulating him. But
are you still on Instagram?
No. Instagram, I feel like, is... Yes, but I know where you're going
you
with this. Yes, I know where you're going with this, but it's
Did
a little
you really?
Harder.
Dude,
it's a little harder. Like, you know, it's very difficult when there's like a small number of people that are like going a different path. Mm-hmm. You still have like the 99% still communicating on like the mainstream platforms. And it's like you're doing yourself a disservice, because then you won't achieve some of the stuff you want to achieve as quickly as you should.
You know, that's true, because, that's kind of true, because can I tell you, like, I've never used Instagram for social media management for organizations which I run, but with Prozarium.net, because I want to go with like the whole, like our aesthetic is like pink, flowers, cutesy, kawaii, all that. So I made an Instagram thing and I shared it on Instagram, and I told someone else to share it on Instagram, and people told me that they saw the thing on Instagram, and then I just realized, I'm like, Instagram's where you get the kids. Instagram's where you get the young people. Like,
Like...
You really can't run from it unless there's an alternative. Like, these are conversations we've had.
But what's the alternative?
Year.
That's the thing. There is.
But I'm about to say, like, there are really no alternatives that give you the kind of like security or privacy that you're looking for. And even when they're there, they're very niche
and don't give you the exposure that you'd like.
That you need, especially in like our industry. So.
You know when you talk to someone and they're like, I don't have WhatsApp, talk to me on Signal, and I'm like, oh my god.
Nigga, now I gotta download Signal.
I can only have one app on my phone. It has so much bloatware, and I can only have one important app on my phone, like, because WhatsApp takes up a lot of space. So it's WhatsApp and something else. So I pick WhatsApp and Twitter. I'm not gonna delete Twitter for Signal.
I remember when Signal was such a big deal.
I'm honestly surprised that Telegram has lasted this long, and I feel like it's growing slowly. Maybe a lot more. Like, we actually have a Telegram group at the office that we use for support for like all our clients. Like, strange. I didn't think this day would actually come.
Yeah.
In Zambia.
And it grows. Like, we went from like.
It's easy. I don't think you need or anything, from what I remember. I remember, like, just jumping into Telegram. Like, you don't really need to sign up with anything or whatever.
You don't even need I think you do need some kind of sign up,
it needs a way to identify.
Yeah, usually it's a phone number. What I love about it is, even if I lose my phone, I can still use it on web.
Oh yeah, and with WhatsApp you can't. I wish WhatsApp web would work like without that.
I actually don't, so people move to a different platform.
No, I have a theory. My theory is that they don't want to put WhatsApp on on web, because then it's going to eat Facebook Messenger's lunch.
But it already is, though.
It's eating Facebook's, like, it's eating into that market on the mobile side, but to your point, if you don't have a phone, you can't use WhatsApp. Unless you have some workaround, but you can still use Messenger. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So. But what I really hate,
I mean, it's
most
two things coming from the same company, so I don't know how, like...
They're going to become...
I think so. Eventually, there's going to be some form of, like... Because there was already talk of that last year.
Facebook TV, WhatsApp TV, Instagram TV. I'm expecting all these WhatsApp stories.
You know what? I hate how big WhatsApp's gotten. You know, remember when WhatsApp was first there, and like it was so small and easy to have on your phone.
Yeah.
But now WhatsApp is so big. WhatsApp takes like how many gigs? How many?
It's because Facebook bought it.
Like, they added all these.
Facebook's app is like so big. I don't understand why.
Yes, that too. I haven't used the Facebook app in literally years. I think it's been like 5 years since I ever installed it on any device. Like, I don't need
it's probably like 160 MB now. chasing 200.
It takes up a lot of data. And I'm just like, I'll just use it on the PC. Like, I don't need to, yeah. And then the notifications are so annoying. Well, now I've gone into
and they never take you anywhere. Like, they take you to the wrong thing. They still haven't fixed that.
I mean, there are a lot of things.
That they haven't fixed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that one's big.
Which one?
I can't get a notification, tap on it, and it takes me somewhere else. Like, that's ridiculous. Especially, like, group stuff. You've never experienced
I
that.
Have. What I you have.
Oh, but 5 years.
Like, no, but it's weird. No, okay, so maybe it's probably not the same thing, but it's for me, it's like when some... Oh, no, so we're probably talking about different things. Because I'm thinking of, like, when someone tags me in something mm-hmm. and I go to the thing, it doesn't take me to where the person tagged me in. So I don't see the message. And imagine if it's a thing where it's, like, a viral thing, which is, like, 10,000 messages. Like
yeah, then you have to start looking.
And I'm like, where am I? Where, like, yeah. And I'm like, did the person tag me to say something? But then maybe the person just tagged you, just your name, just to look at it. And I'm just like, I went to find just that.
Like, I opened this just for that.
Just for that.
Anyway, rolling back to the conversation.
Yes.
5-year plan. We're here for it. I'm definitely going to support anything game development, like, totally down.
Anything game development, anything Africa. Woohoo. Care for it.
Yay. Mm.
So wait, what are we looking forward to in 2020 anyway?
Blood pack right now.
Whoa, like, whoa, whoa. Sorry.
Fam.
No.
This is like some shit.
This is a round table. Oh no, it's not round. But I was like,
because you're at the curve.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was like a round table.
Okay, well, like round table conversation. I feel like we're going to.
You know what? It can be whatever you want.
Just like no blood. Anyway,
no saliva either. I've seen that shit going around now, fam.
Like, oh, you mean like and then like. Yeah, the handshake. What is that? Haven't I seen it on a cartoon or something?
I remember seeing something like
recess?
That.
I don't know.
Just, it's probably been on a bunch of things, to be honest. Yeah. It's something I think
it
I've seen.
It feels worse than like cutting my palm.
How?
Dude, it feels worse. It really does.
You can literally get eight.
Yeah, you can get like.
You know what? It's all about the mind, and it feels worse.
Okay.
You have a scar, you can get whatever. Any type of
Yeah, anything that is transmitted by blood, whereas saliva, it's basically something you can
it
wipe off.
It feels worse, and that's my opinion. You don't get to argue with
it. Well, your opinion's wrong.
Fine, let's leave that. Okay, so what did you say? 5-year plan? Yeah.
What are we looking forward to in 2020, though?
In 2020?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Specifically.
About game development related or in general?
It can be general.
It can be general.
Yeah.
Mm.
You still end up in game development.
I have something to say for game development. I think Amaze Nairobi is going to be happening in 2020.
When is it?
I forget. I think it's around October, possibly. I need to confirm. But Amaze, you know Amaze, right? Amaze mm-hmm. is like the really fun, playful media festival. Mm-hmm. Like it's all interactive arts and digital stuff and games and all that. But that festival is actually what really opened my eyes to the indie game scene. Like, that it's beyond even just, like, making games on your PC. Like, indie games, like, people make games, you know, using all sorts of electronics, and they make games about their feelings and all that stuff and simulations. Mm-hmm. Like, it just opened my mind to, like, the weirdest and coolest type of games.
The creativity and the indie
scene. Yeah. And I was just like, we need this in other parts of Africa. Because I went to Amaze Johannesburg. I think it was 2016. That was the first one I went to. And I was like, man, like, this would be so cool, like, if we could see this kind of stuff in other parts of Africa.
Yeah.
So hearing that Amaze Nairobi is happening in 2020, I am so excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope I get to go. I have to go somehow. Somehow. I don't know. Put me in a suitcase somehow. Someone.
Whose suitcase?
You know what, like, just on that, mm-hmm. I have a question for the listeners, right? Mm-hmm. If we open, like, a donations thing, right? Like, now I have all sorts of ideas. Like, you know, access is a thing as well. You know how you can go to a conference in, or like a meetup in Joburg, and there's all this stuff that's happening. Like, that's another issue that we don't have here, for example. Like, bringing these things here seems like it's harder than actually just taking people to, like...
It is. Truly it is. Because you need to have an organization here that's willing to, like, collaborate and support.
And like, support and maybe. Whatever.
And other places, they have, like, the Goethe Institute. Mm-hmm. We don't have the Goethe Institute in Zambia, but I think British Council possibly supports these things.
Yeah, but then they support their own programs. It's not like Amaze, for example, they probably wouldn't give you money to go to Amaze. but then they have like their own specific stuff going on.
I thought you were talking about like if there was a way to like have money to bring something here. Like, I mean, like if you were to, Amaze does like pop-up events, and there are other types of game development stuff. So, like maybe like a British council, or you know, like. What I'm saying is like an organization in Zambia that's willing to support this and that has the money.
And I really feel like it's open. Like whatever is going to get these things to kind of happen here as well. If it means finding the money to like sponsor one or two people every year to go to an event, like that would really be dope.
I would definitely put my money in for that I'll put money in for that. Mm. Like even if you are like. Okay, look, I'm a broke person, by the way. Let me just say this.
We are all broke, city. We are all broke.
But
I'm a student of life. I'm like a student of life. Like
but if I have enough money, like in game development season, to spend, like to help someone get somewhere, I am willing to help you with that. I don't know, like if you need to have a crowdfunding thingy. Like, just prepare well in advance. Like, because I've had to do the crowdfunding to go to GDC
San Francisco,
I had to do the crowdfunding thing, and it was exhausting. And I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for other people encouraging me and assuring me that I'll be able to do it. Even most recently, this was, like, a really little thing, but I needed a ticket to Cape Town. I needed to pay for a ticket to Cape Town. And it was, like, such short notice in 2 weeks. And I would not have done it if, like, my friends didn't encourage me. And if people around me didn't support me and say, like, I can help you with this amount of money, I can help you with this amount of money. So, like, if there's someone who is really passionate about going to a game development event and you need help organizing the funds to go there, like, if you're able to get a ticket or whatever and you have the time, like, I'm willing to help. Like, I'm putting it out there myself. Like, I'm willing to try and help you organize a crowdfunding thing or whatever. I myself might not have the money, but I'm willing to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's basically the point I was driving towards, like...
A donations thing.
Yeah, like a donations thing. Like if... I don't know. Anyway, it's just ideas right now. Like if we can structure it in such a way that we can actually help people, like, attend some of these events or bring them here, whichever one is easier, I think it would really, really, really help. I know we're trying to build our own stuff, contextual or whatever, but it also helps to learn from, like, different people and see how we can use everything they have in our context as well.
True. Yeah, and if... I don't know if anyone listening to this, you guys know your listener base. I've used Anchor before now, so I know. So I know you can see where people listen from. So people from other countries, if you're interested in coming to Zambia, if you're interested in visiting Zambia, even just passing by, and you're a game developer, want to share some knowledge, you know, there's some spaces you can pop by. That, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Bongo Hive, Global Platform, other places, I'm sure.
And you can hit us up also. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a space where you physically come to. You can also hit us up and we can get people to come and sit down. Yeah, definitely.
Just have some drinks at Keg or something, I don't know, and talk about game development and share experiences. Like, yeah, true. Like, so if you're a game developer and you're ever passing by Zambia, Lusaka specifically, like, because we're in Lusaka right now. So these guys can... hit you up on Saka. Livingstone, do we have people in Livingstone?
Jabu.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, Livingstone, if you're in Livingstone and, yeah, you want to have a game development conversation or whatever, we do have someone there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chipata as well. We have our good friends, Berrien from Bantulab Tech. He wants to get more people involved in game development. So, literally us, we're speaking as Zambians. If you're a game developer from another country and, you know, you want to, like, have conversations and share knowledge, like, yeah, just hit us up and we will link you up to the appropriate people.
Yeah, definitely.
We hope things like this can happen. We hope things
definitely.
Like this.
And they will. Like, I really have a lot of hope that they will. And I'm really hoping that using platforms like Twitter or whatever, we can actually get people to know each other and, like, communicate and share stuff and link each other up, have drinks, you know, casual around the stuff that they're interested in. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Really. Like, we never had that. When we started, we never had that.
No, we didn't.
We never had that.
You know, yeah. Right?
And these are opportunities that I feel like we're always there. We just maybe didn't know, or we didn't know the right people.
Yeah.
I don't think they were. I feel like they weren't here. But
well, if they were there, like, we didn't know about them.
But anyway, but the fact of the matter is that now it's easier to tell people about these things. It's, we're more connected and whatever, and we can tell people more about these things.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I am looking forward to our live shows in 2020 because we want to do, like, live shows. Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing a live stream next week.
Oh, but
because, like, I'm planning, like,
for... They just high-fived listeners.
Thank you for narrating that. Yeah, oh, I'm doing a live stream next week because what I'm doing is since Prozerium.net was launched on the 5th of December, yeah, which is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
It's like a month ago,
oh,
exactly.
Yes, actually. Exactly. Oh, it's my month birthday. And it's also Prozerium.net's month anniversary. So I actually planned on having a live stream every month on the 5th, but I couldn't have one today because I was booked for these fine gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. We're turning 2 in March. Don't forget.
You're turning 2 Codecast
in March.
Awesome! Woo!
That's also something to look forward to.
Yeah. So
definitely.
So, and when are you guys having your live stream?
Well, we haven't fixed any dates yet, and it's not really a live stream though. It's just like a
live recording.
Live recording. Like,
yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So like a live panel.
But it's okay. Similar.
But yeah. Oh, I'm having a live stream so next week Saturday. I haven't decided the time. Saturday, Sunday, especially for the people who missed our last workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna have. When are you guys uploading this episode, by the way?
Friday.
Okay. So tomorrow or the day after, if this is Friday, if today is Friday, then tomorrow or the day after, I will be live streaming and I'll be teaching you guys how to make visual novels from scratch.
I think we should do exact dates. Exactly. Just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, just in case. But then
the problem is, yeah, okay, so if you're listening to this at before. Like
before
the 11th and 12th, which is basically the day this episode drops.
Yeah, Cite will be live streaming the Prozerium.net workshop. Like, I'll be redoing the workshop for people who weren't able to attend. If you have data and you're at home, like, just go on Twitch or YouTube. I don't know where I'm streaming. Go to my Twitter. My Twitter will probably update you where I'm going to be streaming. And yeah, join in, and I will also be doing a giveaway.
Yeah, giveaway? Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Anyway, and Codecast is probably going to tweet about it. We'll do as much as we can do.
Yay,
and
then
to share and draw engagement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because engagement is everything.
Oh, yeah.
What are you looking forward to in 2020, Lars? You had to unzip, huh?
my sweatshirt.
I love this.
Obviously, yeah, like I'm looking forward to all the things we're planning with Codecast. Some things
we can't talk about.
Yeah, some things we can't talk about yet. Some things you're going to see in the coming weeks.
Trade secrets
that will be revealed in due time.
What did we talk about?
Listen, this is different. obviously, I'm looking forward to that stuff. Things we're working on with Daniel. On a personal,
I don't even think it's a secret anymore.
Is he like here for good?
Yeah, he's here for good. Oh, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I can just see him. I used to see him online. Like he was in India, yes, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, look at this Zambian doing awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. And now he's a Zambian
still doing awesome stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, and you
I
know.
I saw him on like the GitHub email, like GitHub. You know, I think they sent an email for the student developer pack, and then I saw him in the thing, and I was like,
he was a campus expert.
Though. Yeah, GitHub campus.
Yeah. Daniel. So yeah, on a personal level, I'm looking forward to the PS5 and the Xbox Series X.
I'm also looking forward to the PS5 though. Definitely.
Though if the dev kits are anything to go by, it's gonna look ugly.
Wait, did you see the?
Yeah.
No, I thought no.
No, but
that.
I really like it.
You're lying.
Why?
Is that horseshoe-looking thing?
Yeah, though it's a V.
No, I thought someone made that.
Those are the dev kit units. But the problem is,
guys,
no one ever puts that much effort into dev kits. So if that's the final design, Christ.
I'm not interested. I haven't owned a PS4.
Yeah, I know you don't like PlayStation.
What? No.
Well, you had a PS3.
Elias, yeah.
You had a PS3. Okay, hold on.
Remember, we used to
hold on. Calm down.
I'm a PlayStation person. We were PlayStation people. You were an Xbox person.
No.
You were an Xbox.
I had an Xbox.
For context, we have two very avid gamers in the studio today.
No, not super. Okay, whatever. But we used to argue. There's just a history here.
I just remember last generation, you were really into Nintendo.
I'm always into Nintendo.
Yeah.
I've been into Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's like, do I even have my 3DS
Look,
in my bag? Maybe.
That's my point.
Nintendo is like, it has nothing to do with PS versus Xbox. Nintendo is always there.
My point was, you were always
with a
more
cup of coffee
of a Nintendo person than a PlayStation person. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, yes, yes, you are wrong.
Why am I wrong?
Because I got my first Nintendo console in, was in like 2014. Before that, only owned PlayStation. Like,
okay.
So it's I've not always been a Nintendo person. I've always loved Nintendo games, but in terms of consoles.
Okay, you can only play one console.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo 3DS.
Case on point.
That is true, though.
But wait, what?
I'm not talking about what...
Oh, by the way,
I'm
not have a PC, right?
Look, no. No so PCs.
No PC. The yeah. PC. Then I pick a PC because I can play everything on a PC.
No, we're talking about like the three console manufacturers.
So I don't have a PC and I have to pick one of those three.
Okay, you can have your PC.
Okay, good.
And then you can pick one console.
Nintendo 3DS.
Okay, there you go. So...
moving on.
Nintendo New 3DS XL.
Moving on.
So...
This will go on forever. Moving on.
Am I right in saying...
Yeah.
You're more of a Nintendo person than a PlayStation person.
No.
Moving on. Yeah.
So, I don't even remember what I wanted to see.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Okay. I am an Xbox person. I'm also a PlayStation person. I'm more of a PlayStation person than an Xbox person.
But you know what? That's what I've always loved about you.
I agree with you, Elias. Actually, I just realized I agree with you. I am more of a Nintendo person than a PlayStation person.
Yeah, because you just said that you're not looking forward to the PlayStation 5 as much.
Because the thing is, I can't afford it. I don't even we don't even have a TV.
Look, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I can afford...
I can look forward to it.
Can I tell you, you know what? When I told people the Switch, I was like, I'm not getting the Switch because I know they're going to come out with a Switch Lite. And I know that's the one I'm going to want because I don't care about the TV. I want it to be portable. And when the Switch Lite came out, the prophecy was fulfilled.
I'm sorry. The reason why...
What?
I've held off on the Switch, obviously, because I'm broke. But also... We're going to get new consoles next year.
But okay, no. But the thing is,
the I've seen playthroughs of The Witcher on Switch. How is it going to keep up?
I don't care about those type of games.
No, I know you don't care about those type of games. But for me, like I like knowing that I can play every game. That's why I've had a PlayStation and a next console and a gaming PC and all that stuff. You can't play everything with a PC.
Yes, exactly. You cannot play 3DS games on a PC.
Or PlayStation exclusives.
Again, moving on.
If they were available.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
Let's move on.
This is another episode. And you know what? Actually,
we've
been trying to have City on the show for like a year, right?
Yeah.
Last January, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
Scheduling issues, like we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think you left before we recorded the show.
Yeah.
By the way, where's my shirt?
I'm sorry?
Where's my shirt? My Global Game Jam shirt.
Be specific.
The Global Game Jam shirt with the palm trees on it. And I was like, that's a really cool shirt.
Palm
I
trees?
The palm tree.
No idea what she's talking about.
Like, Binary Ninja?
Oh my God. Like, look at your face. Look at your
Yeah, listeners, look at my face.
I will send you a picture. I will scroll back to the messages. Do you think I do not keep receipts?
Okay.
I'll scroll back and I'll send you a message. You promised me a shirt. You said you had my shirt.
Elias.
You know, I actually want you to like look for these receipts. I'm here for that.
Why are you doing this?
I'm just here for this.
My shirt is somewhere. You promised me a shirt.
But I really like the designs we used to do for the Global Game Jam.
Yeah.
Those were dope designs.
Like, that's why I was like, you guys were so fun with it. Like, so you said you guys are working with Nerdotaku?
Well, we're helping. But they're really the driving force behind this year's Global Game Jam.
Okay.
Mm.
Gonna miss you guys.
We're not dead. We're just not organizing this year.
I miss your shirts and whatnot. But it's always good to collaborate. So, I don't know. Like, you guys are gonna work together. So, you know, like, more heads together better than one, and more ideas and experience put together.
Yeah.
And they have we have a sponsor now for Global
Game Jam. Yeah.
I'm sponsoring Global Game Jam 2020. Yeah. So, get in on that. Get in on that, man. Get in on that. Tell them where to put the money. Tell them you need the, what do we need? Food? Pizza? Pizza! Tell them it's not a Global Game Jam without pizza. Tell them.
You know what? You're right.
T-shirts. Mm. Get in on that.
We're going to get on that immediately.
Yeah, stick your chests out and be like, hurt. No, we know.
Is that what you? Is this how you picture meetings with sponsors?
That's not really how it goes, and you know it.
Oh, it's. I'm sorry, boss.
Please, sir.
Okay.
Could I have some more money?
Just a call. You know what? If you want to know more about the Global Game Jam, go to globalgamejam.org. Right.
Yeah, we'll include the link in the description.
Like, it's really, really dope. My favorite thing is collaboration. Like, it's not competition. It's just you're there to learn.
You're driving collaboration. And that's always been a really big thing.
Yes, because everything is competitive. Going back to our point about why people keep things secret, everything is competitive.
It's all about,
Like, doesn't need to be.
I want to be the first. The other thing is, I want to be the first. No, man, like... Someone else can be the first. It's fine. Just focus on being the best of what you can do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, even when someone copies you, they don't have the originality that you have. You can do better.
Yeah. In fact, by copying people, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're already competing to be number two. Because you can never be, you're copying. So you can never be the best of that. But if you're doing your own original idea, you're always going to be the best at what you did. Always.
Quotes.
Bars.
You know what? High fives are on. High fives are on. Anyway, Codecast ZM on Twitter, Codecast ZM on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have an Instagram account. Mm-hmm.
I saw it. I follow you guys.
We have a LinkedIn also, Codecast Zambia. Yeah. You know, trying to be more professional. Okay.
Official.
What else are we on? Slack, not as active though. Like Slack is like an entirely like it's a community also that deserves so much energy, so much attention.
What about Discord?
No.
What about TikTok?
Not yet.
Wow, we're grown ups. We're like we.
So if you're gonna donate money for like someone to manage all these things, no problem. It's exhausting.
It is honestly a job on its own, managing social media.
Yes, I had that job once.
I can never do it.
It scarred me. Like, you know, like, because every day, like, I had to post 3 posts on Facebook a day and whatever. The thing is, like, it sounds easy, right? But then it's like, and once you get into it, it's easy. But then once you leave it, like, you're still in that mentality, like, every post, you're like, oh my gosh, this post, people aren't liking it.
Yeah, like, you have to figure it out. Like, it's.
Need to put the hashtag, need to put the right.
Why didn't it work? Maybe it didn't work because of this. Let's try this. It's a full time job.
Yeah, it is.
It made it so hard for me to get back on Facebook. Like, I couldn't do anything on Facebook for a while, but finally, I think I'm back. I'm kind of okay now. I'm getting back to normal. Instagram feels nice. I think I'll just link my Instagram to my Facebook and I'll just be on Instagram. Instagram is cool.
Posting. Mm. Okay. Oh, and we're everywhere now, I think. We're on every streaming platform.
The and podcast, this is a new one.
I don't know about. But yeah, I think...
Are we on Disney Plus?
Are you on Disney Plus?
It's not available in Zambia yet.
There you go.
It took me like a minute, but... but so is Spotify, and we're there too, so...
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it, guys. You guys are everywhere.
Yeah, we are.
We're trying hard.
There podcast awards for Africa?
I actually don't know yet.
Yeah.
But this is something I tweeted like 2 weeks ago. There is an African podcasting platform. Like, these guys, like, you basically send your stuff and then they put you on whatever. And, like, there's lots of different podcasts from Africa, like original content.
I want to see.
Same as, no, I'm a plug for, like, different, like,
There's
also Polelo, which is like a South African thing, like for podcasters and stuff like that. Yeah, pretty dope.
Yeah, he's always plugging, like he's really in tune.
Awesome.
I am Jorelai 360. Jor _
Eli
360.
Yeah. I know his handle. Like,
I mean, like if you didn't know it at this point, then you might have a problem.
Sour_bones on Twitter.
And @_LadySith on everything. That's Lady and Sith. Lady and Sith like Star Wars.
One last thing I need to plug. Twumbo just launched something for devs. Zambians. Ooh. Is it Zambians.dev or is it Zambian.dev?
It is Zambian.dev.
that's amazing.
Yeah,
like I'm really happy about that because
I've been getting everyone I can in on this. I got my workmates in on this. I think there was a tweet I retweeted. Like that's how much effort I put.
You know what? You know, I really thought about this when you were talking about like women publishing games and stuff like that. Like, if there was like a collective, like an aggregated platform where we could see.
That's what I'm doing. That's what Prozerium.net is.
Yeah, exactly. I was really thinking about that.
And like that's, yeah, exactly. Like that's what it's going to be about.
Like, yeah.
And I really don't want it to be like like one platform like Zambian.dev where everybody is like, which we can have different platforms specific to like different industries. It really makes it easier to find people.
Yeah.
But then there's filters also. You can
just click. No, but this is a start, and I think it's really cool. Like, I was actually upset I wasn't one of the first ones on it. Like,
I was the second one.
Yeah, I saw that. And oh my gosh. The first person is the person that made it. So you're technically the first person.
And then Daniel after you.
Yeah.
Because I sent Daniel the link afterwards. Like, Daniel, check this out.
Yeah. And then I was like, way.
No, like, really.
Look how much you have to scroll to get to me.
Yeah, like, really, thank you to Twombo because, like, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, he's trying to do that's really amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's lots more people that are doing the same, but maybe are closeted or, like, we just don't know them yet. And this is an opportunity to find them.
Yeah, like, that's really honestly, dope. Like, you think you know the development community and then you go on this site and you look. Right? You look at so many people that you've never met.
There are so many devs out there that we just don't know about. And I feel like...
And the funny thing is...
2020 is the year the year of the return.
And the funny thing is, there are developers that I know are not on this platform yet.
Yeah.
So there are obviously a lot of people that haven't signed up to this yet. But yeah, we'll leave a link to this as well in the description.
2020 is also the year of good content. And I'm so happy we're launching a new show. Yes, we are launching a new show. It's amazing. Like I've already heard one recording, and I don't, did you listen to it?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
What's the show?
I didn't get that link.
Wait, he sent it in the group though. Anyway, like
okay.
Anyway, like I'm looking forward to this. Like for me, like the reason I got into this was to tell stories, and this will tell our stories from like a very unique perspective, in my opinion, and it will be so relatable. And I can't wait for it.
Mm.
I saw the graphics this week. Amaze balls. I can't wait.
I told you about using that term, Koma.
No, I don't like it either.
Okay, guys.
Especially said out
loud. You know what? This PC stuff, we need to get around to talking about this stuff. That's
not,
like an...
It's not a
PC thing. It just sounds weird.
Weird.
You know, amaze balls?
Leo, don't even repeat it.
Say it.
Like, you want me to say it? And also, I think it's the way you say it, because, like, you kind of separate the words, and it makes it sound even worse. Like, it's amaze balls. Like, if you say it fast, it sounds a little better.
Amaze balls, like, amaze balls, amaze balls.
Like, oh, please. Balls. No, it sounds weird.
You know, we'll make sure to include that this is an explicit episode.
No, man. Stop out.
Fucking kids, man.
You know what? I love you guys. Thank you for coming through. It's been amazing. Very good show. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
First episode of the year.
2020.
2020. Like, are we ever going to talk about the stereotype? Like, people think like devs are like, what? The same as everyone else. Yeah. We're doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Only one is a little skirt.
Not just skirt. Skirt.
When I'm coding, it's trap music when I'm coding. It's
you guys, like, I've been sharing my playlist. I'm going to do the same. Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share my playlist. That shit is the bomb.
I literally open...
I mean, you would think that.
No, I've gotten validation. Don't worry.
Okay.
I literally go to Deezer and type in skr, then I open a playlist. That's my coding playlist. That's how I came across like K Camp Lottery, and I was like, oh, this is a J.
No, this is a skr.
I don't know what K Camp Lottery is yet.
No, me neither.
Do you want me to play it for you?
No. Okay. I'm scared.
You know what? Thank you for listening. It's been amazing. I love these guys. I love our community. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. We're very open. We mm-hmm. want everybody. You don't need to code. Like, there's so much contribution.
Codecast out. Out.
You've been listening to Codecast Zambia, brought to you by Agora Code. Visit agoracode.community for more information or like us on Facebook. That's @CodeAgora. We're on Twitter too, @CodeAgora.